But you're at a particular time of the year, and I hesitate to bring it up only in the standpoint of, as the modern church today embraces a lot of the secular things in the world, and a lot of things that are in the world, even though the world celebrates them, doesn't mean that we as Christians should celebrate them, not just as a church. And I realize you can go too far with certain things. I completely understand that you can run off the rails when you go too far, when the Christmas thing or the Easter bunny thing and all the other kind of stuff. And we still have Easter, or what's called Easter, with Passover for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have the Lord's Supper and Christmas, not just because he was born, but also because he died. And we don't worship the Santa Claus thing and all that kind of stuff. But this thing about Halloween keeps coming back up, and it keeps coming across my desk on a regular basis, and I'm feeling this this pressure, almost this idea, and I believe it is a seducing spirit. I think that it is creating an infestation where individuals don't recognize that even though that the devil and his demons, well, in the King James Bible, he never says demons. Most of you may not know why. The reason is because when your King James translators saw the word demon, they knew that in secular history that demon was often considered to be a good thing. They would say that if an individual was unusually bright, that he had a demon. If he was unusually wealthy, that he had a demon, meaning that it was a possession that took place that enabled him to be able to do things. So your King James translator never used the word demon, they used the word devils. And there's a reason for that, because they want you to know that their references to it is not reference to anything that is good at all. Amen. Now, I realize you have children, and I understand the ground I'm about to walk on, I'm about to tread on, is I've got to be careful because I'm walking on eggshells. But ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, when it comes to messing around with demonic things, with devils, you are playing around with a spiritual atomic bomb that has long-term repercussions in your family. You think you have problems with prodigal kids and other things like that. You allow this stuff into your homes and into your kids' minds, then the next thing you know, that ground can be taken. Now, even if you ask the devil to leave, that doesn't mean that you've taken the ground back. Many people don't understand, if the ground's vacant, doesn't mean you've taken it back. You have to take the ground back. You say, why? In the passage in the Gospels over there, the Lord said that the individual, the devil left, and that when he came back, he found the place swept out and garnished and cleaned and all that, and he brought seven other devils with him. So a lot of what you're dealing with nowadays, believe it or not, is demonically possessed Christians. You say, well, they can't be possessed. All right, let's just talk about what he can possess. Now, he can't take your soul. But there's plenty of other things he can take. He can take your eyes. He can take your ears. He can take your mouth. He can take your tongue. He can take what you touch. He can take where you go. He can take your attitude. He can steal your joy. He can steal your vision from you. Where there is no vision, the people perish, right? There's a lot of things he can take that have nothing to do with taking your soul. Listen, if you're saved, you're sealed under the day of redemption. You can't lose your soul. But Romans 6 clearly teaches you, and the Lord brought it up in John chapter number 8, that if I yield my members as instruments of unrighteousness, the devil is allowed to take those things. And so I can use what God intends to use for him. I can use it for evil, or I can use it for good, even though I'm a saved individual. And the question got brought up the other day in question and answers, and it's a good question because the Bible is not real definitive on where the devils come from, but there's no question that the devils exist. You can't literally go back and say, well, this is exactly where they come from, and people speculate, but the Bible does make it very clear they're there, and there's something that has to be dealt with. One of the things that showed up at the first coming of Christ, that thing which shall be hath already been, was when the Lord first came down here and he started his ministry at 29 and a half, 30 years of age. When he started that, he said, one of the things that you do is you heal the sick and you cast out the devils. Devil possession was prevalent when the Lord showed up the first time. Devil possession will be prevalent when the Lord shows up the second time prior to the rapture. devil possession, not in the world out there, not in the Charles Mansons of the world and the Ted Bundys of the world and the John Wayne Gacy's and the guy down in Waco, the whack-a-mole down there, Koresh, or Jim Jones or any of those people, devil possession among Christians. One of the reasons that Christians have a hard time taking a straight message from the Bible is devil possession. One of the reasons they have that sort of glossed over kind of a thing when you talk to them and then you offend them when it comes to presenting them with what the Bible says, they get offended by that. That's not them. That is the devil that's inside them that they've allowed to grab hold and take hold, and then it prevents them from growing. When a devil is in you, it prevents spiritual growth. Now, you can't blame it. You can't be, many of you wouldn't even know who it was, a little short black fellow. His name was Flip Wilson. And every time he got caught, they made a big joke over it. And he would always say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make you do it, but if you yield to the devil, he will let you do whatever you want to do. Amen. Now, there's things that they mock and they make fun of. And I just saw it the other day. It's still out now about Exorcist. And most of you don't know this. I don't say that to your discredit or to offend you. But most of you don't know that the word that's in your King James Bible, exorcist, isn't found in the other Bibles. The word exorcist that they made a movie about comes from your King James Bible. Well, why would they make a movie about an exorcist and a woman who's a girl whose head turns around and she levitates off the Bible and has this, you know, puking, where there's a projectile vomiting and that kind of a thing? And why would they laugh at it and have a Catholic priest come in there and sling stuff all over and burn crosses in their heads or whatever that whole deal's about? And then, ha ha ha, isn't that funny? And now they got all these horror movies out and they got all this stuff. You know, the month of October, it's like a worship service. Let's, you know, do all that we can to try to do it. You got October the 31st. That's interesting if you think about it. That's just 13 reversed. Amen. That's what the devil does. Now, you want to play with that stuff? It's your business. But it's my job to give you an idea, to warn you, you're playing with fire. These kids nowadays, they have the games. And don't get hung up. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. You're letting them play games that are involving demonic entities. And you get them comfortable with that. It's a lot more than just drinking drugs and sex. It's demonic entities. They're fighting things from other worlds and other things and transhumanism and a mixture of humanoid and motorized beings and all that other kind of stuff. You say, oh, preacher, that's no big deal. No, in the book of Revelation, after we're gone out of here, he has power to give power to the image, to the beast that's there, gives power to a motorized thing. And it comes to life. It's an idol that's worshipped. And anybody that doesn't work at the end of the beach and so on and so forth. Now, here's what I want to try to do without getting too worked up about it. I can't caution you enough, not just about sexual predators and somebody putting razor blades in the caramel apples or any of that other kind of stuff that they used to do at this time of the year. I can't caution you enough when it comes to demonic entities, devil entities, that you cannot be careful enough not to let that stuff into your house, not to let that stuff into your car, not to play those movies that are, you know, well, they're just for scaring people and all that kind of, No, you need to be careful with that. You say, why? Because what it does is it dulls your senses. And eventually what happens is it's like, well, it's not really real, it's no big deal. What you did was you just dropped your guard. And when you did that, all of a sudden, those things find easy passage in there. You're basically saying, welcome. Now, listen, you do what you want. You're an adult. But you have a responsibility, in my opinion, as a parent, as a grandparent, to protect your kids. Because they don't know any better. They don't know any idea about where the jack-o'-lantern came from. Oh, it's just a pumpkin, you know, we're just going to set it up here, and we're just going to carve a... What kind of face are you going to carve in it? A scary face, an evil face. Do you even know where the pumpkin came from? Do you even know that it was put there in place of a child sacrifice? Do you know anything about the Druids? Do you know anything about the history of, it's just it's just bobbing for apples and it's really not. You study anything about Halloween at all? Or you just pick up what everybody else does. You just invite the devil in. Why do you have people come into your house dressed as ghosts and goblins and ghouls and now zombies and stuff like that, dead things? I'll show you in a minute in Mark chapter 5. That's where demons like to hang out. Why would you want that stuff around? Then you wonder why your kids have nightmares. Now, I'm going to show you a little bit of what the Bible says about it. And I'm not going to berate you over it, but I'll be dogmatic about it. I think it's dangerous stuff. So, well, preacher, you don't preach much about devils and stuff like that. Simple concerning evil. I know it's real, and I know he's smarter than I am. A fellow said to me one time, he said, well, he may be smarter than you, but greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. You're devil-possessed. You got a guilty conscience. You're saying something like that, and you got a messed up mind. You're saying, greater is he. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. You can still disobey the scripture. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. That doesn't mean anything. What do you mean? Greater is he that is in me. Well, what does that mean? You got another spirit in you? That doesn't mean anything to me. That's a statement of fact. If you're saved, he is. But if you don't activate him and allow him to kick those things out, why are you always so interested in saying that if he doesn't have power over your own personal life? And you say, well, preacher, you know, my little kids and stuff like that. Really? Over a bag of candy? Come on now, folks, you can't be that silly. You honestly cannot be so worried about your reputation and your child being made fun of because he doesn't dress up at school like a ghoulie monster. Preacher, we don't do that. We homeschool our kids and we make them all dress up as a Bible character. Like who? Jezebel? Who do you dress them up like? Why do you dress them up that time of year? Why at that time of year? You say, well, preacher, you know, what do we do? We're having a fall festival and we're going to have all the other kind of stuff. No, we're having church on the 31st. Amen. We're having a regular church service. You say, well, it's time of fall. Okay, good. We'll pull out some fall colors. I intentionally tell her I don't want orange and black out. Amen. She said, but preacher, they go together so well. I don't care. They're connected with something I don't want to be connected with. Amen. I just soon use autumn colors, fall colors, like red and yellow and orange and green and that kind of stuff. I don't want to throw black in there. Amen. I'm trying to warn you. A preacher gets up to try to tell you about something. You know what? I'd be better off trying to tell you don't smoke and don't drink and don't do those kind of things. But for me to tell you not to participate, some of you mamas and daddies in here, your kids are in Sunday school. Your kids are over here. You don't have to worry about them hearing it this morning and then questioning you about it. But some of you parents are already trying to figure a way of how you're going to do this after the preacher has said what he said about it. And boy, that's just going to ruin Halloween. Well, good. You mean I'm going to ruin something evil? Amen. You mean you're going to, you know, people ask me all the time, say, what do you do for Halloween? I said, what do you mean? That's 365 days a year. What do you mean? I said, yeah, people are always trying to be something they're not. I'm here to unmask you. I'm here to tell you that when you do that stuff, you're opening doors and you're putting out an open invitation. And you should teach your kids to be afraid of that stuff. Don't mess with that stuff, man. Don't wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning because you're scared to have the daylight scared out of you because you've been watching the fingernail fellow that comes along here or somebody with a machete jumping out of the water and cutting off somebody. Why would you have a kid watch that stuff? Oh, well, that's just what it's about. You're a fool. I say that unapologetically. You are a fool. I think you're guilty of child abuse. You say, why? You're messing with that kid's peace of mind. Thinking somebody's going to come in through the wall plug and the next thing you know there's an apparition in the house and you got them watching all this junk of we go to this place and we got these machines and it got cold in here and there's an apparition where somebody died before. Why do you want your kids thinking about all that stuff? I've been around enough of that stuff to tell you something's there. I don't know what it is, but you know what I do when I sense it's there? I get out. You say, why? I've been there when something's there. You say, what is it? I don't know. I don't stick around and say, hey, what are you? In the name of Jesus, come out. I don't want to talk to you. I'll be like this fellow I'm fixing to show you in a minute. I'm afraid they're going to strip me neck and beat me. That's in the Bible. You did know that, right? Paul I know and Jesus I know and who in blazes do you think you are? You say, surely, preacher, you don't. Oh, man. Let me just show you a little bit about what the Bible says about it, okay? And then you can amen it or not amen it. And for those of you that already know the truth of this, don't run around with your nose so high in the air that if it rains, you're going to drown. You weren't always that way. And when you were a little kid, you did stupid stuff too. And when you were a young mom and daddy, you didn't know and nobody told you and all that other kind of stuff. Now that you got it down pat, don't run around like, you know, y'all finally need to catch up with where I'm at. I got Sunday morning just for you, okay? So you stay around for the morning service this morning. Okay? God bless you. I'm glad you're here this morning. Been holding back too long. I feel like lately I've been too sweet to you. Acts chapter number 19. I love you. I'm getting so close to you that I have a hard time sometimes telling you what an idiot you are for playing with this stuff. I don't get it. I don't get it. If you were to take out the stuff you've watched on the box in front of your kids this week and throw it up there to the judgment seat and say, Lord, what you think of that? Man, the National Association of Educational for Children would be down your throat, and the Child Welfare Department and the Child Protection Team would be down saying, what are you doing showing your kid that stuff? No wonder you raise a serial killer. You show them on TV all the time.
Amen.
Murder. So-and-so was murdered. And you got kids watching crime shows. Why don't you leave that with the police? Well, it's just so interesting and so interesting. Are you a ghoul? What's wrong with you? You like death? You hadn't seen enough of that? What is it that you're attracted to that? And your kids are looking at that stuff and they're, you know, well, everybody's a murderer, you know. Everybody that's a murderer don't have one eye poked out with a humpback on him dragging his foot behind him. And Ted Bundy represented himself in trial. He had women out there swooning and fainting over him and writing him letters and offering to marry him. Yes. Killed over 300 people. Better look at Acts 19. So you're going to get in the book in a minute. All demon-possessed people know who Jesus is. Look at Acts 19, verse 13. The Bible said, then certain of vagabond Jews, well, look what shows up. It's right in your Bible. Exorcist. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of priests, that did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. All evil spirits know Jesus. Just because they know Jesus, that don't mean nothing. Greater is he's in me, he's in the world. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are ye? Watch what the demon does. Watch what the devil does. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You say, why? Nakedness, it always goes hand in hand with demon possession, with devil possession. Come to the book of Mark. Come to the book of Mark. Greek philosophy taught that demons could be good. In the King James Bible, there's no good devil.
Amen. Amen.
There's no good devil. The devil is not good. I told my wife yesterday, she said, what are you going to say? I said, I preach tomorrow. I said, I don't know. I'm not going to say. And she said, well, I mean, I was just kind of curious, wanting me to pray. And I said, yeah, you need to pray. And I said, but I don't want to say anything, because if I say it, I know who's going to hear it. You say, what'll happen? Be up half the night and have nightmares all night long and all that stuff. You sure you want to say that stuff? No, I don't like to talk about it. I'm afraid of it. I've had some a rough scrape or two. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, Mr. Heroic He-Man, but I've been in a couple of bad spots. And I've been afraid before. And physically afraid before. Nothing compares to the fear that I have of what I'm showing you right now. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm getting chicken skin right now because I'm afraid of this stuff. I plead the blood and ask the Lord to wash me and cleanse me and protect me and to keep me from it. I know what I'm talking about is just as real as heaven is and just as real as hell is and just as real as there's a Holy Spirit, there's an evil spirit, and just as much as they're a ministering spirit, there are also demonic spirits. And I want to be careful about it when I go about it. Mark chapter number 5, just show you a couple of things here. Now, if you read over in Luke chapter number 8, you talk about an individual there that has many devils. Remember that Adam and Eve go over there, and the first thing that happens is when they get their eyes opened up, and the Bible says they realize they were what?
Naked.
You know the first thing they do? They try to cover up with fig leaves. Well, nowadays, fig leaves is probably more than most people wear as a bathing suit.
Amen.
I mean, you ever seen fig leaves? They're about big as my hand. And take a couple of them and put them together, you got more than most people wear as a bathing suit. And the Lord said, you ain't wearing enough. And after he gets them right, you know what he does? He makes them coats of skin.
Yeah.
You know, one of the signs of an individual that is demonically possessed, they're always wanting to be naked.
Right.
Yeah, even Christians.
Sure.
Yeah. They don't mind showing their flesh.
Yeah.
Strip off their shirt and double bicep.
Right.
Crab. You say, oh, no, you're showing, you're strutting your flesh.
Yeah.
You like to be naked. That's why you want to wear the body shirt.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, that's why you want to wear the yoga breeches. You can't go out in public naked, but you want to wear something that shows the figure.
Come on.
Amen.
Now, come on now. The amen died right on your tongue. It's like, why has he got to go there? I'm just telling you, it's connected with that.
Right.
And the Lord says, you know what you need? You need some skins. You need cover up.
Yes.
You know what happens when he finds the devil-possessed man of Gadarene? And by the way, when you get over in Matthew, you read about it in Matthew. Matthew gives you one account of two individuals there. And Mark breaks it down and gives you one individual. Matthew gives you the event as a whole, and Mark gives you the individual response. They're not a contradiction. And so he's dealing with this one individual. And one of the signs of devil possession is notice if you will please, in verse number 3. A man with an unclean spirit. You see that singular in verse number 2?
Mm-hmm.
Unclean spirit, singular. Now remember that. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, no man could bind him. Supernatural strength, not with chains. I'm in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Because that when he had but often bound with fetters and chains, the chains had been plucked asunder by him, fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He's a wild ass. He's a rebellious.
Right.
He has a rebellious attitude. He's got a rebellious spirit. Nobody can tell him what to do. Nobody can get him under authority. He's not like someone that can keep rank. He always has his way of doing it. Nobody can tell him what to do. That's a sign of demon possession.
Amen.
The Lord subjected himself to his own creation.
Right.
You want to know if you have a demon? How well do you take orders?
Right. Amen.
I didn't say you had a demon. I just said check yourself.
Right.
Not take orders from who you want to take orders. How well do you take orders from God?
Right.
How well do you take orders from the Holy Spirit? How well do you take orders from your boss? How well do you take orders from your parents? How well do you take orders from the policeman? How well do you take orders? One of the signs of demon possession is nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now, you've got a problem with your kid? Maybe they're not just rebellious. Maybe you've opened up a door and there's something in them. You say, you're going to tell us how to fix it? In a little while. You have to stay with me for a little bit. Look at verse number 5. Always night and day was in the mountains, in the tombs. Look at that. Crying and doing what? An emotional basket case. Crying doesn't just mean he's always upset. I've seen people cry when they're mad. I've seen people cry when they try to manipulate people.
Sure.
I've seen people that get cornered in a corner and they're all, I'm so sorry. I don't even know what to do. You ain't fooling me. You turn on the tears because you got your hind end caught in a scrape. You turn it on the tears because you finally got caught. You want me to have empathy for you. And then if you don't show that public empathy, you know what happens? Then you look like the bad guy because, they were crying. So the devil-possessed man cried. The devil-possessed man had no control over his emotions. The devil-possessed man would be, you would tell a joke and he would look at you. And you would say something that was serious and he'd laugh.
Yes, sir.
The emotions don't match. The devil-possessed Christian, well, all of a sudden it'll be dead quiet and you'll hear him, amen!
Yes, sir.
It's fine to say amen, male or female. Don't run out here and say, no, it's the timing of that thing. It's off the beat.
Yes, sir.
It's like, where did that come from? Yeah, preacher, pull over and park a while. Preach on that. I'm trying to preach. The Lord pointed one preacher. He didn't point you to preach and then try to preach you through me.
Right.
You know, yeah, preacher, I've heard people do that in prayer meeting. You ever heard that in prayer meeting? Gossip session. They get out and they start praying. They preaching in their prayers. Right?
Sure.
And then somebody coattailing them behind that kind of a deal like that. You know, one of them individual little, you know, we got together and had a Bible study. You mean a gossip session? You mean you had everybody over at the house so that eventually you could go ahead and reveal what you had them here for? Well, you know, I just wondering about that thing the preacher's been teaching on lately, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You ain't in the Bible. You're in people's business.
Right.
You have a problem with rebellion, which is as the sin of
witchcraft.
And stubbornness is as
adultery.
Well, how about that? You say, what happens when you rebel against God-ordained authority? You know what it does? It opens up, according to the Bible, and it allows that other unclean spirit to come up there and say, oh boy, I'll take that. I'm with you. Who is he to call him God himself? I'll put my throne above his throne. I'll be like the Most High. He ain't going to tell me what to do. You know that the devil is so deluded that he honestly believes, even after reading the Bible that he has seen for over 6,000 years come true, down to the very jot and the very tittle, that he is so demented that he still believes in the end he's going to win. You say, what is that? That's the epitome of demonic possession. Notice the signs of these things that show up here. He can't be controlled. Notice he's cutting himself. He always has his way of going about cleaning himself. It's temporal at best. It's not just for an individual that cuts themselves for relief and people that endorse pain for relief. It's looking for attention and it's trying to, now I'm trying to, instead of getting right, I'm going to make you feel sorry because I'm suffering. Wait a minute. Now you got me feeling sorry for you doing something to yourself instead of you going, why am I doing this? Sounds it just sounds so unpastor-like, doesn't it? It's like, well, preacher, you're dealing with demon possession. You're dealing with an individual that won't recognize when I see that in me, I got a problem. I don't need to go to see the psychiatrist or the psychologist or take another man. I got a problem. You say, oh no, preacher, not me. I would never. I never say anything. I never do anything. I just stay to myself. I just stay secluded. You mean like him?
Yes, I see.
I just stay to myself. I don't like people. You mean like him? I don't like to be around people. People are bad, you know. People that need people, they're the luckiest people. Oh no, they're the scariest people in the world. You mean isolationism? Isolation, you mean like him? Around dead things? Around more comfort around Christian people that are not saved than you are around people that are saved? You mean more comfortable in that environment? Oh, preacher, that can't be a demon. No, the problem is not demonology. The problem is psychologically I have a problem and this has happened. I'm going through the change. Amen. We call it whalepause around here. You say, why? Because there ain't nothing little about it. And it's real. Yeah, you younger boys, you'll find out one day. And they go through that stuff. They don't even know what's going on, let alone you thinking, you know, baby, can you feel my pain? Heck no, I don't even know what it is you're feeling. You can't describe it. And you better have God on your side to live through it.
Amen.
The devil-possessed individual is always alienating, isolating, pulling away. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands me. Nobody can get. I don't. You know, I've got to be myself and be alone, and I don't want interaction. You mean like him? Doesn't it say he hung around in the tombs? Last time I checked. Now, I ain't been around the tombs in a while except for funeral services, but them people don't talk. Do they? It's kind of nice to go there, but they used to, like, you have to pick up reports way back in my day, and I would go over to the cemetery over there, and I'd tell the guys coming to the cemetery, and I had a couple guys, like, I ain't going to the cemetery. I said, ain't nobody going to say nothing. It'll be okay. I ain't going in there. You say, why? There's dead people in there. I said, I know, but they're dead. They're in the ground. Uh-uh. I ain't going over there. You say, why? Because there's something else in there.
Yes.
There's something pestering this man. And he does nothing but secludes himself and alienates himself and pulls himself away. Can I just tell you, whether you know this or not, let me just take a page out of a psychological manual and tell you two ways that they control how you think. Do you want to know what they are?
Yes.
Proven fact. You ready? Number one, they instigate fear. Number two, they isolate you. Number three, you go absolutely insane because you were not made to be isolated. God said it is not good that a man should dwell alone, and therefore he created him a woe man. But you know what God did? God created us for fellowship with him. It's not natural to always want to be away from. I don't like people. Well, God made you a people. How about looking in the mirror and not liking him or her? You want to take a page out of the manual of how to control people? You want to know how Hitler did it? You want to know how Stalin did it? You want to know how Mussolini did it? You want to know how they were successful in doing it? They instigate fear and they isolate you. They alienate you. They lock you down. Don't get around each other. He's got cooties. They got cooties. She's got cooties. He's got cooties. He's vaxxed. He ain't vaxxed. They got it. They don't have it. He's masked. He's not masked. You shouldn't have church. You should have church. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to stay in. I'm going to lock the door. I'm going to stay away. Why? Because it might jump on me. It's going to get me. I know it's going to get me. I'm afraid. And so what do? I'm hiding. I'm in lockdown. And the next thing you know, you're chewing on your tongue. And you're going insane.
Amen.
Go check it out. Do your own research. And see if you don't find what I'm telling you is absolute truth. I'm just giving it to you from the Bible. Preacher, what's your resource? The Bible?
Amen.
He's a demon possessed. He's by himself. In the other passage, there's another one just like him. They're both in there together. You say, why? Birds of a stinking feather flock together. The reason you have to read the parallel passage is to know that not only is he by himself, but sooner or later he garners the attention of other people that just want to be like him. Just because you have people around you doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. They like me. They like each other. Till the Lord showed up. Let's hurry, I'm going to run out of time. Is this helping you at all?
Amen.
See, why would you do that? Because it's Halloween. It's my way of celebrating. He had his dwelling among the tombs. They're always talking about their dead works. The things they used to do. What they used to be. Where they came from. I want to slam the pulpit right now. I'm tired of hearing about Christians' past devilment. And how wicked and ungodly we were back in the day. Can we just move forward and say, but I got saved.
Amen.
And since I got saved,
yes.
Right? Do we have to always go, let me tell you where he went. No, you replaying the movie, boy, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I used to watch them drooling, pinheaded pedophiles sit there and they would go back over in their mind what had occurred, and I would watch them as they began to go through that. Their facial expression changed. They'd get goose flesh on them, get chicken skin on them. They'd begin to salivate because they're just replaying that horrible, God-awful stuff in their mind. But then I come to church and people are telling me all the God-awful stuff we did. Hey, it's under the blood.
Yeah.
Could we please move on?
Yes.
Used to be a big deal. You couldn't have a testimony unless it was a bad one. What's wrong with a good one?
Right.
What's wrong with a good one? That's a testimony of God's grace anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
You have to tell everybody what all you did and who all you... Thank you. No, thank you. I don't need to hear that. You say, why? It'll change my opinion of you.
Yes.
And it'll change yours too. You're not above that. Oh, no, preacher, I never do that. No, you only want to know that stuff for one reason. You know what it is? So you can use it to control or manipulate people that you think are less than you are. You folks are too... Pardon me. Let me rephrase that. Some folks are too familiar with each other because of the stinking social media that has made you think that everybody else's business is your business. And you're too close to people and you know too many things about them, and it is not good for you to know those things. You say, why? Because you'll use it. They'll be needing prayer. You'll be like, well, they reap what they sow. And you ain't going to keep it to yourself. You're going to tell somebody. Especially if that person starts getting some recognition or accolades. Well, I know that was really good, their song they sung. But you know, back in the day, you know, she's old Streetwalker down there at 8th and Main. I don't know if you knew that or not, but God bless her soul. You know, Jesus helped her. You didn't tell that for the benefit. You know what you did? You told her that because somebody's getting recognition and you're not. You're devil possessed. You can't stand when somebody else is getting the attention. You say, why? Devil possessed people always think they deserve the attention. Let's go on down the passage just a little bit more. He saw Jesus afar off. He ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee? Oh, well, look at that. He is a devil-possessed man. He's an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James-only Baptist. You say, what? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God, torment me not. All devil-possessed people know Jesus. Just because you're saved does not eradicate you from the list of devil-possessed people. The first thing he says to him is, help me. Notice here again in the singular. For he said, come out of the man, thou unclean, what? Spirit. Well, now notice what happens. What is his name? Look in verse 9. What's his name? You mean an unclean spirit is made up of unclean spirits? One unclean spirit is multiple devils? That's what it says. I don't have the time to go into it right at the moment right now, but I'll try to show you hopefully by this evening because I have somewhere else I want to go here this morning. But I want to tell you this. And the Bible likens unclean spirits and demonic entities and Satan to flies, winged being, birds. That's what he likens it unto. Little things. If he's got 1,000 demons, if you have 2 of them there and they had 1,000 each, or if he had 2,000 for a legion and you have 2,000 for the one individual, how are you going to get that many demons in there if they're much bigger than the end of your pinky?
Sure.
That's a lot of demons. That's a lot of devils
yes.
that are in you, right?
Yes.
You say, what are they? They're very small. They're winged. That's why when you get to picking up on the gossip line, you know a little bird told you.
That's it.
That's why you get bats in the belfry. That's why he says over there in the Gospels, he said, when the seed is sown and the fowls of the air come by and pick it up, and Satan,
yeah, that's it.
Showing you it's a winged being. You know what he says in the last days? He said, the fowls of the air come and they sit down in the middle of that old mustard tree. You say, what is it? It's demons in the church house. It's devils in the church house.
Right.
You say, why? He can't come in unless you invite him.
Amen.
He can't come in unless you allow him to.
Right.
If you got them, it's because you've opened up the door, the window, you've opened up the gate, whatever it may be. You've allowed them to come in. And some of you, to be honest, you spent a while since you checked up. You think everybody else is messed up. When's the last time you stood in the mirror and said, hey, you stinking unclean spirit, come out of me now?
Amen.
When's the last time you cast them out of you? You don't need somebody to cast them out of you.
Amen.
You got the chief apostle living inside you. That's
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what he does? He can cast out devils.
Amen.
But you know what will happen? Some of you grandmas and you grandpas, you know, you're going to feel sorry. You're going to override your kids so you can take care of the grandkids. And, you know, I know mom and daddy don't want you to do this, but, you know, here's your trick or treat on the side. You're devil possessed. You don't like authority. You don't respect the authority that your kids say, we don't want to do that. You know better, don't you, grandma and grandpa? You know better than the Bible, don't you, grandma and grandpa? You know, when the Bible tells you, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, even more so such as you see the day approaching, and therefore exhort one another, encourage one another when it comes to coming to church. You know better, don't you, grandma and grandpa? Oh, you don't have to go to church. You can just stay home, grandma and grandpa, and prop your feet up, and I'll get you some hot chocolate. Put you some extra marshmallows in there.
Come on.
You're devil-possessed.
Yeah.
You say, why? You'd rather hang out with dead people. You don't want to come where Jesus is. You say, no, Jesus is in me and this and that and the other. Well, why don't you go where you think Jesus is going to come by? Where is he more apt to come by? Church.
Right.
But you know better, don't you, grandma and grandpa? Pawpaw and Nana. Meemaw, mamaw, papaw, whatever you call yourself. You know better, don't you? You can't stand authority, can you? That parent is in charge of the kid, not you. I don't care if you're older. That's their kids. They're not yours. Well, I know better. Yeah, you did a great job with the ones you raised, didn't you? You think as a grandma, you now know everything there is to know about that kind of stuff. We're talking about devil possession. You say, I would never be devil possessed. Oh, well, you might want to be careful about that. Notice that not only does he have a whole bunch of them, doesn't notice that, but notice you see the plural in verse number 12. And all the devils besought him, send us into the swine that we may enter. And the unclean spirits, you see that in verse 13, went out. Now it's plural. You say, what is it? One. Look at verse number 15. And he came to Jesus, seeing him that was possessed with the devil. The legion. You say, what is that? The devil. Verse number 16. You say, what is that? One devil, many devils. One devil. Many devils. So you're possessed with the devil. That's what he says. His devils had taken up residence in that place. I haven't even given you half of the verses I planned on giving you this morning so far. You say, why? I feel a pushback. You want to know about spiritual well-being? You don't care about spiritual well-being. You're not here to hear what God has to say. You're here to be seen. You're here to see who isn't here. You're here to see who is involved and who's working and who's doing what and getting recognized and all that. That's what devils do. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm important. I matter. It's all about me. It's about me. It's about me. Can't nobody tell you what to do? Your husband, your wife, nobody. Can't nobody tell you what to do? Fella came to me one time and he began to tell me all these things that were wrong in our church. And I sat and listened to him about as long as I could take it. And it was a good thing I was on the right side of my desk and he was sitting over there on the couch. And when he got done with everything, I said, well, that's very interesting. You've been here two times and you've observed all of these things. He said, yeah. And I said, let me ask you a question. And he said, anything you want to ask, feel free. I said, okay. I said, how many jobs have you had? He said, what business is that of yours? I said, you said I could ask you anything. He said, well, I'm currently unemployed. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Why is that? Well, they said that I wasn't doing what they wanted me to do, but they didn't know. And I said, okay. I said, what about the job before that? Here is a 50-year-old man not working because every job he's had since he was 18 has always been the problem of the employer. It's never been because he wasn't doing what the employer said to do. It was always them. And then he's going to come in and tell me a list of things wrong with our church, including there's not a cross on your pulpit. I said, no, there's a Bible up there. And the list was going on. I'm not even going to tell you what all was on there. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't even recognize. You're devil-possessed. You're coming in here, been here two times, and you're going to tell me everything that's wrong in the church. I've been here for 30 years. I can't tell you everything wrong in the church. You say, why? Because people are like Jell-O, trying to nail them to the wall. It's real jiggly. We change over time, don't we? I mean, I'm doing good today, and then tomorrow you're whacked out and they got you in a straitjacket. What happened to you? You went off the rails. I don't know. Amen. I want you to listen. This thing about Halloween is a serious deal. It's not a religious preference. It's not a, oh, if you go over there, you can't do Halloween. God help you if after I've said this, you decide to have your little Halloween party, and how dare you invite people from this church to partake in your foolishness and have your own little private party for the kiddies for Halloween. We don't care what the preacher says. God help you. She ain't gonna tell me what to do. You're devil possessed. I just read for you what the Bible said, and I'm not even halfway done. You should have heard enough already to go, I don't want nothing to do with that. Amen. I've changed. I think this Sunday is going to be the rapture. I think it's going to be October the 31st on a Sunday night. And the rapture is going to happen. And some of you are going to be holding your trick-or-treat bag going... and you're going to wish you were in church. And you're going to wish you're going to be like, I was just collecting for the kids, Lord. And some of you having your apple bobbing and your orange and black and your little ghosts and ghouly monsters out there and your little doorbell ringing, cackling like a witch and stuff like that for all the kids to come by and get the tract that you wouldn't give them any other time of the year. Right. so that you fit in the neighborhood. And all them little kids get zinging out of here. And the Lord's like, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking, Lord, don't forget me when you come to thy kingdom. The Lord's like, well, you seem to have forgotten me. Now, you know, I know the rapture ain't going to happen Sunday night or the 31st. But what if it did? Well, you chose to ignore what the book says about those things. Here's the thing, and I'll have to close for Sunday school. It bothers me that you will get so wound up about my position on Halloween, and you don't get that wound up about the Lord's position on the church.
Amen.
It bothers me that you'll get more wound up about a mask, or to get vaccinated or not vaccinated, or to assemble or not assemble, inside or outside or whatever, and you get so worked up over that, but you don't get worked up over people going to hell. It bothers me that for you, Sunday is another day, and it doesn't bother you at all that work is more important to you than coming to church. I mean, if that's what you want to do, it's free will. But you're living in the days where the Bible says many give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Devils. You going to tell me that Halloween came from anything but the devil? And you celebrate it? I hope you feel so guilty. I know what some of you are going to do. I can see you prancing poodles right now. You know, that ain't how I do it. And it don't bother me. And I don't care what he says. He's not going to control my life. I can tell you, your pinheaded husband's going to tell you the same. Baby, don't you worry about what that preacher said. I'm your husband and I say it's all right. You're just saying that because you don't want to sleep on the couch. You do what you want, baby. Don't let no preacher tell you what. The preacher ain't telling you. The book is telling you.
Amen. Amen.
And if you're a woman using that, something's wrong with you. You're possessed.
Yes.
You say, why? Devil-possessed people never go by what God says. Never. Last but not least, I got to say this. In the passage, doesn't the Bible say he was naked? Can you follow down in the passage right here? After the devil has gone out of him? What? Wait. You almost said it. You almost said it. Clothed in what? You mean he was acting insane? You mean he was crazy? He was so crazy he thought he looked good naked. He's insane. He thought he looked good naked. And you men that have daughters are so deluded in your mind that you think sending them out in the world dressed like the world, like a rock and roll show, you think that in your mind they look good. You're insane. And if you're doing it, it's a sign of possession. You're no better than the individual who's the predator because you're putting them on display. Look at them. Look how good they look. Yeah, that's my jeans there. And I ain't talking about the Levi's. Yeah, it's a bloodline, you know. That's why they're shaped like that. You are a freak, boy. Ma'am, when you start doing that, in the Bible, I'll get to it tonight, but you know one of the sure signs of demon possession is a woman that's always looking for attention. You know how you'll generally get it? By the way you dress. I know you're thinking Coke bottle. I might be thinking mayonnaise jar. It don't make no difference. Either way, it ain't right. I've been working out. Okay, it's good for your health.
That's right.
It's not to make you a showboat.
Right.
Show pony.
Yep.
You know what it says? Part of his insanity is coupled with the fact that he thinks he looks good naked. You know what it says when he got right with God? I'm going to guess
He probably didn't post a picture of himself fully clothed. I bet you there was a lot of metadata out there that showed himself naked. Let me just tell you something, young ladies. One day you're going to be an old lady. And one of your kids or your grandkids is going to pull up a picture of back in the day. And then you're going to have a hard time saying you ought not be dressing like that when you dress that way. And now the only reason you don't is because you don't look like that. And the only reason you do is because you think you still do.
Doc, will you let those people in the back, please? I'm not quite done yet. These are simple, basic truths that go along with this time of the year. That if you're going to be stupid enough to crack the door, and those things are as small as the Bible says they are, you can let hordes of those things in a matter of seconds and spend a lifetime trying to eradicate them. It's better not to open the door.
Amen.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Amen.
Leave it alone. You'll be all right. You know, it's amazing to me how many people got all wound up over the election. You didn't care what people thought about how you voted. Am I right? But you care about what people think of you as a person when it comes to Halloween. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your Bible being so real and so true. We'd ask God that you might help us during this time of year to set a standard, but not only that, to protect ourselves and our kids and our church. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the unclean things that no question have heard what has been said this morning, the fowls of the air are coming by now, and they're picking stuff up off the ground before it can even take root and grab a hold of and settle down into people's heart. There's some people here, Lord, I can feel it, I sense it, I know it. They're downright mad about it. I've just rained on their parade. And there's some other people, Lord, that got some wisdom and instruction today. I'd ask God that through the blood of Jesus Christ you'd cleanse this place now, take care of every unclean thing that's in this place. We'd ask, Lord, that you might give us a good church service where we might be able to worship you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.